Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I am Reba Hass of Team Reba.
And Eric Austin is here from Home Street Bank.
Yes, we are back. And I know we were talking about rates.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some other stuff later about CFAIR, but you were talking about Brexit.
Right, right. Yeah, the Brexit.
What happened? You know, the that's not just like a breakfast cereal. It's, well, do you want to say real quick for anyone who doesn't know what Brexit is?
Sure. So everyone, Brexit was the UK's vote to exit the European Union. And nobody expected that the voters would vote in favor of leaving the European Union, but the vote was resoundingly, in that direction. So,
Resoundingly.
I mean, there's almost 70%.
Right, but it depends on where you're talking, though, because if you were talking to folks in Scotland, they're kind of like,
"Oh, right,
what
right.
in the world?"
Right. Well, that's the joke, that a Scotsman, an Irishman, and an Englishman go into a pub. You know, the Englishman wants to leave, so they all have to leave.
Right. Exactly. Well, I was watching John Oliver. He has that show on Sundays on HBO, mm-hmm. and he was saying something about elements of Brexit being just, kind of this, what the heck were you thinking? And the Scottish mm-hmm. were just, besides themselves over this whole thing, just couldn't. He was saying, that the name United Kingdom is almost a joke amongst
right.
well, in and of itself.
Having
like,
lived
we're not
over
united
there,
at all anymore.
Having lived over there, I can tell you that, you could feel that same way about each county.
Yeah, true.
So, but what happened with Brexit is immediately after that vote, it was a shock, that mm-hmm. it went the way it went. And so immediately there was flight to quality, flight to safety investing. And investors started buying our bonds, as a safe place to go. And that, supply and demand, so more mm-hmm. people buying our bonds, it actually reduces the interest rate. So that was a huge boost, for interest rates. And actually, there was an article out, today called The Brexit Effect on Refinances and Auto Loans as well. But mostly with mortgages, just this Brexit vote, and mm-hmm. the impact it had on our bond market added about 1.3 million borrowers to the pool of borrowers eligible to refinance or basically ones that
would
benefit
okay.
from refinancing right now, up to about 8.7 million of you out there who should be refinancing because rates have dropped so low. And kind of the magic mark, if you think about that right now, is if you have an interest rate that's somewhere above about 4.25%, it's definitely worth running the numbers on
mm-hmm.
Because we've had
especially
a really
if you're going to be in your house for a while.
Absolutely. There's a few more things happening with rates as well. So
well, hold on before you jump
yeah,
into
yeah.
that. Could you give people basically the formula that you just need to figure out to see if it makes sense to do something like that too?
Well, I mean, I think every situation's a little bit different depending on how long you plan on keeping your home
mm-hmm.
and what sort of a term you have on it. So everybody has a different purpose, or if you want to pull equity out to consolidate things or use funds for other things. But basically, with a kind of a standard refinance analysis, I always look at what's the difference in the monthly payment? In other words, how much can mm-hmm. we save off of your monthly payment divided by what's the cost for doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with most refinances, the cost of the refinance can be rolled into the loan, or you can also play around with the interest rate so there are no costs even, and nothing's for free. So if you have a no-cost refinance out there, I don't care what the advertisements say, you're going to be paying a higher interest rate than if you paid cost to get a refinance. But basically, I look at the break-even. How
mm-hmm.
many months would it take to recoup the closing costs through the lower payment you get with that refinance? And then you kind of compare that to how long do you plan on keeping the home. As a general rule, I like to see a break-even period of a year, maybe 18 months at the most, and that can really make sense, meaning that it'll take you a year or so to, or hopefully less, to recoup the closing costs you had to pay to get that loan. And if that's the case, then it absolutely makes sense, to take a look at that. So lots of other, factors that can go into that. A lot of folks are liking to shorten the term of their loan.
Mm-hmm.
20 years is a really good option. A 15 year is a good option.
Right.
10 year is a good option. So
yeah, and it always goes back to the point that you have of what is your long-term goal
mm-hmm.
with
right.
the property. If it's a short-term goal, chances are probably pretty good that that's not going to be the right thing.
That's right, unless you're managing it for cash flow. So
right.
if you don't plan on keeping the home for right. very long, but you just want a lower monthly payment, then absolutely, you know, that can make very good sense. The other thing that we're seeing a lot of right now is removing PMI, removing mortgage insurance from loans, because home values have gone up. I'm working with a customer right now. They bought a home literally 1 year ago. It closed August 5th, I think, of last year. And, you know, they paid $460,000 for this home. It's up in Mill Creek.
Okay.
We just reappraised the home. It just appraised at $500,000. So just in that short period of time, we've got $40,000 increase in equity in that home. And when they purchased it originally, they had PMI on the loan. So the odds are I'm going to be able to get rid of that at this point.
That's fantastic. Because the PMI doesn't benefit anybody other than the
PMI
bank.
PMI company.
Right, exactly. The PMI company and the bank should something happen.
Sure. Yeah. All PMI does is if a person ever defaults on the loan, it pays a premium to the bank to offset you know, some of the loss the bank's going to take.
Right. And if anyone ever wants to know more about that, they can go on to the blog because Sherry Spies, right?
Yes, yeah.
From one of the mortgage insurance.
Radian.
Yes, Radian was on our show last fall, I think
That's right. That's right.
And did a wonderful job of talking about it and what it is and why people have it. So if you want to learn more, we do have past shows.
Yes.
That get into those details.
And, or you can contact us too. Eric is my banker. You can tweet me or email me, eric@ericismybanker.com. Sherry's delightful. I've got lots of her information.
She is delightful. And we also got to do the hashtag dead sexy with her.
There you go. Ingram High School graduate.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, she still laughs about the fact dead sexy and PMI were put into the same sentence.
We had her down. So anyway, on rates, we think that the Bank of England may cut rates later this week. And this morning, Australia.
England's also all over the news. What in the world?
Yeah, this whole Brexit thing. And
are they trying to take away from Donald Trump or something? Or what?
No. They're trying to keep things, calm there. So, so with the Bank of England, the kind of their proposed rate cut, this will be the first time in a while that they've looked at reducing rates, I believe the first time in about 7 years. And this morning, Australia cut their rate also.
Okay.
You know, so if you want to borrow money overnight and you happen to be a bank in Australia, your interest rate will be 1.75%. So not too shabby. So the fact that other central banks throughout the world are cutting their rates is another sort of good sign for our mortgage rates. So today, 30-year conventional fixed rate mortgage, we're averaging nationally 3.39%. 15-year fixed rate, we're averaging 2.73%. FHA loans still hovering around 3.25%. And jumbo 30-year fixed rate loans, jumbo meaning in our local area, any loan amount above 540,500. $540,500.
I never understand why they can't come up with like an even number. Why do they always have to do that? It's always like 417 or 505.
It's 120% of the median sales price, and it's based on
and not rounded up.
No. They there's no rounding going on there. And these loan limits are they're different for every county. So 540,500 is good for King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties. If you get outside of those counties, it's going to vary a little bit, 417,000 on up to that higher number. So those numbers change every year on Black Friday. So they always are announced the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Another useful piece of trivia from a banker geek. So that's your rundown on
we need sound effects around your stuff so it doesn't sound so dull.
I'm not sure. How am I going to make numbers sound? Well, I got to say,
whistle sounds?
A 3.5% conventional mortgage is dead sexy. You know, I'm just going to come right out with
it. It is kind of dead sexy, actually. Yeah. As someone who also is really fiscally conservative and like saving money, 3.5% is a pretty darn good rate.
Kind of hard to argue with that one, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's funny, the older you get, how more sexy things like that become.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, I'm sure a lot of 20-year-olds are like, so?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, well, when your first house was at 9%, 3.5 looks pretty fantastic.
11.5
much.
For me, thank you very much.
Yeah, right.
You know, it certainly makes a difference. So, yeah, so we're looking good with the rates
right now. Well, let's talk about how wonderful those rates are for making these homes affordable, because we've gotten through half of the year, and I pulled some stats from the MLS, our local multiple listing service, also known as the Northwest Multiple Listing Service. Mm-hmm. And just wanted to give some details to folks out there, just to give them an idea of what's going on in different market areas, right? Because we've talked about it a little bit here and there, and I've given some, you know, average and median prices on occasion. But I figured since half the year is over, you know, these always lag behind because they have to, you know, collect all the data and get it put in fancy little charts and whatnot. But I figured we'd hit a few market areas around here and just give people an idea of what's happening. So for those folks in the Ballard area, basically we're going to look at North Seattle, north of the Ship Canal Bridge from Ballard over to Wallingford. Basically think of it as water over to I-5 and from the Ship Canal Bridge up to 145th Street. That's one of the largest market areas for King County. And what's been happening there in terms of the number of units, you know, we keep talking about the shortage of inventory. Well, in 2015, in the month of June, 291 units sold. This year, 272. So it doesn't seem like that's huge, but it's still close to 10% down from the numbers, right?
Yeah.
And same thing with the price. Well, the reverse happens, of course, when those numbers are really tight. What we've got is the prices go up. So in Ballard, June of 2015, the average sale price, and this is counting residences and condos. Okay, so these numbers are even a little artificially low for houses.
Right.
Last year, the average in June was $586,961. This year is $650,158. That's a significant increase.
Holy cow.
Yeah, absolutely significant. And those between each year was only 12 days on market. So we've got more of these that we're going to cover when we get back from Open House with Team Reba. Call us with questions, 866-712-1300.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.